Case 43Tensions no cold or heat. Pointer 10,000 ages abide by the phrase that determines heaven and earth. Even the thousand sages cannot judge the ability to capture tigers and rhinos. Without any further traces of obstruction, the whole being appears everywhere equally. If you want to understand the hammer and tangs of transcendence, you need the forge and bellows of an adept. But say, since ancient times, has there ever been such a family style or not? To test, I am citing this for the case of 10,000 ages abide by the phrase that determines heaven and earth. What the phrases for century after century, the phrases given by patriarchs and Buddhas really penetrate the core of human being, not only explaining the surface of human world, but a whole universe. So that's why even a simple phrase, simple term, is handed down from generation to generation, which is very worthy of considering, contemplating. For instance, it is a very famous term. when the Bodhidharma went to China to see teach Buddhism in first time. First of all, he met Emperor Wu in China. Emperor Wu asked Bodhidharma, "What is the merit when I built lots of Buddhist temples and educated Buddhist monks and Buddhist nuns? What is the merit?" And then he said, "No merit." So, the Emperor Wu continued to ask because he didn't understand no merit. If Buddhist teaching is no merit, why do we study Buddhist teaching? So it doesn't make sense for Emperor Wu. That's why he asked, "What is the essence of Buddhist teaching?" So Bodhidharma says, "I don't know." So that "I don't know" is not the usual meaning of "I don't know, you think." "I don't know" is he knows pretty well, but still, "I don't." Buddhist teaching is completely beyond intellectual sense or intellectual explanation anyway. So that's why "I don't know." But Emperor Wu didn't understand, that's why he continued to ask, because if Bodhidharma don't know, who is Bodhidharma standing in front of Emperor Wu? Oh, excuse me, this is, I don't know, means this question. So, who are you? Means, and then the Bodhidharma say, I don't know. But before that, essence of Buddhism is what? What is the essence of Buddhism? The Bodhidharma says, vastness, nothing. Vastness of no holiness and vastness of nothing. So this term is very impressive because he didn't understand, but he felt something anyway. So he continued, if there is nothing and vastness of the universe existence, that is the essence of Buddhism. If so, who you are? Who is this little guy in front of Emperor Wu? So he said, he asked, who are you? And Bodhidharma says, I don't know, because even the Bodhidharma is completely nothing holy, and just vastness of existence. So that term is a very simple term, nothing holy, just vastness. But this is a very impressive term. So from generation to generation, still we have to continue to think about this. And it has been handed down from generation to generation, because it is not merely word. It comes from anywhere Bodhidharma's true heart. He really touches the core of existence. The core of existence is really quiet and silent and but preactive and preactive. It's very vast because it is always embracing whole things. But according to human speculation, we consider that is kind of contradictory, because everything, embracing everything, in peace and harmony, that is core of existence. So that's why it's vast. Nothing holy, no discrimination there. So thousand ages abide by the phrase that determines heaven and earth. What is human world? What is human beings? What is a tree and the birds, skies, heavens, earth? What is the beginning of the world? What is the end of the world? Anyway, completely, this simple word, it appears to the heaven and earth. Even the thousand sages cannot judge the ability to capture tigers and rhinos. But if you want to get the tiger, anyway, you have to get into anyway tiger's hole, tiger's house, tiger's cave anyway. And then if you create a certain gap, in other words, slackens, and then tigers really bite you, eat you anyway. So you can't sleep, you can't make a clock, psychological clock, but you can't always keep tensions. So you have to be relaxed, but not relaxation, you believe. So that is, if you say relaxation, it is already crack, through which cold wind blows. On the other hand, you should be, serious or tension. If you have a tension, it is also crack, through which, wind blows in. So whatever you say, it is crack. If you have a crack, tigers attack you. But you cannot escape from this, because you have to grasp. You have to, anywhere you want to have, anywhere you want to get the perfectly spiritual peace, harmony, whatever kind of occupation you follow or whatever lifestyle you have anyway. Consciously or unconsciously, human beings really want to get that peaceful security, harmonious security in human life. So that is exactly you are already in the tiger's cave. So you have to get the tiger. So how can you get the tiger? This is, anyway, patriarchs and Buddha's teaching expressed in word, and also practically patriarch Buddha's guided their disciples, the peoples, to enter nirvana, which means perfect peace. So, that's why he says, even the thousand sages cannot judge the ability to capture tigers and rhinos, because even the sages cannot judge this ability, how big, how large this ability is, because this ability is always working and always affecting somebody, always penetrating its object and helping all sentient beings. Anyway, dynamically, from moment to moment, it's really vast. So even the Buddha, even the sages cannot judge this ability, how big it is, how great it is, because completely beyond human world. Human words, because you are in a tiger's cave, there is no chance, no crack to explain how you manage, how you deal with this capacity, capabilities to get tigers right in the middle of tiger's cave. No space. So all you have to do is, anyway, you must be alive with tigers. Anyway. So, that's why even the thousand sages cannot judge the ability to capture tigers and rhinos. Without any further traces of obstruction. Obstruction means crack. Crack through which cold wind blows in. Particularly when you inhale and exhale, you feel really your tension slackens. When you inhale, it's alright. But when you exhale, you feel relaxed. At that time, it's pretty easy to create crack. And through this crack, anywhere called wind blows in means your enemies, your partners attacks you. Anyway, tigers attacks you immediately. Now also when you inhale, you really have attention and keep yourself anyway as you are. Keep yourself in peace and harmony. Keep yourself away from others, away from tigers. So very naturally, you create tension. So inhale, it's all right, but a little bit there is a danger because to create tensions. But exhale, it's wonderful, but relax, you feel relaxed, but it's pretty easy for us to create crack. So that's why inhalation, exhalation are very important for us anyway. Through which you can know what's going on there, what is, who you are anyway. That's why we concentrate on breathing, inhalation, exhalation. So, that's why the concentration on exhalation, inhalation shouldn't the abstraction for your zazen. It's just inhalation, exhalation must go in and out very smoothly, but it doesn't mean ignoring exhalation and inhalation. You should awaken to, but you shouldn't create any tension or excessive relaxation through exhalation or inhalation. So that is a little bit difficult because it is something, well, something functioning, and you must be there. So it is a little difficult to explain, so you should really experience through this. So, without any further traces of obstruction, the whole being appears everywhere equally. At that time, you can manifest you as what you are through exhalation, inhalation, but now you, the whole world, anyway, can be manifested. It is really true. But we don't know where our consciousness can reach anyway. But if you do this completely, it is real fact, real reality. You can really manifest yourself simultaneously, whole world, equally. So, that's why physically, if you do zazen, two points you have to do. Physically, you have to do zazen with your effort. Physically. And also with your effort means physically and mentally too. Anyway, you should do zazen with your body. But with your effort, you have really concentrated on doing zazen. This is zazen is, this is that what zazen is seen from your point, your perspective. But simultaneously, what would you say? Zazen, I forgot the point, what I want to say. Can I say, if you really jump into zazen with your physical effort, mental effort, that time zazen, you are one, okay? One. So zazen and you are not different. And also zazen is not different from table, and you are not different from wall. Anyway, wall and tables and cups and zazen you do, and you as a practicer are all the same beings, which exists simultaneously in space, anyway. This is regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, anyway, this is a characteristic of space. So in space, there are many beings exist simultaneously in peace and harmony. So you really handle something as an object exactly as well as your life. You and zazen are same, exactly same as other beings. So what do you mean? So zazen and you are exactly existent in space with other beings simultaneously. And then this is a kind of what would you say, total picture of reality you are in, okay? Intellectually, Intellectually you can see. Intellectually means the wisdom with your very, clear mind. You can see it if you do the Zen lectures. Then at that time we say in a word, you are Zazen. You is Zazen. Zazen is you. Okay? You are Zazen. Zazen is Buddha, like this. But Zazen is Buddha, you are Zazen, or Zazen is you, it's kind of still intellectual understanding. So this intellectual understanding, Zazen is you, you are Zazen exactly one, other one, must be something which is alive in person. In person. So, both really functioning in person, not in ideas, philosophical concept, but in the person who is alive from moment to moment. That is practice. You have to do it. That is a practice. So, and then when you practice, at that time, you really become one Zazen with your effort, and then it means you manifest yourself in Zazen. Zazen manifests itself in you. So simultaneously, it means you manifest not in you, not in Zazen you do, in the universe. Because holds in the space, exactly. But a consciousness can't see it. So, but if physically you do it exactly like this, simultaneously you manifest you in Zazen and in the universe. So the whole universe responds you, your practice. So that's why you feel good anyway. But if somebody asks you, what's the point do you feel good? But you don't know what it is. But you feel good anyway. So that's why here says, without any further traces of obstruction, that Zazen and you, there is no obstruction, no gap, no crack. At that time, the whole being appears everywhere, everywhere, equal. This is called freedom, anywhere freedom. So in the human life, first of all, you initiate to start to do something with your effort. Okay? But simultaneously, within this small scale of effort, still there is a great chance you can manifest yourself. Not small as a small self, but in a big scale of the self called universe. That is always a point you have to learn. You should do it by your effort, by your karmic life, but within the karmic life, there is a still great chance to let the flow of life force bloom in the universe. In the universe, not in you. That is, at that time, you feel, anyway, stable, and upon anyway, dignified. Okay? You feel really dignified because you manifest yourself in the universe. But even though you don't understand anyway, you should do first with your effort. Okay? And then manifest yourself in a small scale of the self. But simultaneously, it is not good enough. So you should still continue polish your eyes and mind which is good enough to see blooming of your life force in the universe. And that time, that is called speech of security, very stable security. So everyone can do. So sit down the Zen, then you do. But if you see that then, in terms of you, you can't believe that how this Zazen gives you speech of security. You don't understand. But anyway, no other ways. So even though you understand or not, continue to do Zazen in appropriate way. So very naturally, you can know blooming form in you, in Zazen, and also in the universe. So that is the whole being appears everywhere equally. So in Gassho, when you do Gassho, anywhere do Gassho. But within the Gassho, look, there is a security, a sense of security. Do you understand that? Stand up. And stand up or sitting or studying and cleaning the room and washing dishes. Well, wash your dishes. But still within washing and dishes by your with your effort, still there is a security, speech of security there, which make your life really work. That is, anyway, you shouldn't create any crack through what it's called wind blows. That is a comparison or confliction right in the middle of washing dishes, you know. Well, hey, you should wash a dish, you know. I don't want dish, but so always fighting in psychologically, even though you don't say so, in your mind always screaming. Actually, that is comparison, confliction, always like that. So, within the Gassho, this is the Yudu Gassho. That is a small scale. But within the small scale of Gassho, there is a big scale of Gassho. That time, big scale of Gassho really support this small scale of Gassho. That is called speech of security. Within the Gassho, Yudu. So, always two aspects. This is a total picture of your doings, like a piece of paper with back and front. If you want to understand the hammer and the tongues of transcendence, you need the forge and bellows of an adept. What you can do by yourself, okay, you can live on your way, it's alright, fine. But if you live on your way, it's very interesting, but still your way is limited. You know how to grow, but the growth is really limited. So you have to, if you want to grow anywhere in the universe, you have to grow by your effort and simultaneously anyway under the guidance of leader, teacher. So that is very important for us. If you want, I always tell you, if you want to the football player or basket player, whatever you do want to do, anyway you have to run on the ground, or playground, anyway, here and there, under the guidance of coach, anyway. But still, there is no guarantee whether you become a top of a player or not. It really depends on the degree, how strong your determination is made. It's really it depends on your determination. So, even though you do the same practice like this, so among this, someone grows pretty well, someone doesn't grow pretty well. someone goes that way, someone goes in appropriate way. But everyone do in same way. But among the doing same things in the for long range, you can see the big difference. Okay? Big difference. That's why everyday practice is very important. Just like a walking, just like a turtle walking step by step. This is very slow, but for long range, you can create a very big gap, big difference among the people. So that's why, anyway, we have to practice on a daily basis, just like a cow, just like a turtle. Well, put aside your ideas, good ideas, bad ideas, complaints, anyway, let's do it. That is very important. So if you want to understand the hammer and tanks of transcend, you need the forge and barrels of our debt. But say, since ancient times, has there ever been such a family style or not? Well, it is not the explanation of human life we are taking care of today, but from generation to generation. Let's see good example our Buddhist patriarch left for us. So that's why it says, since ancient time, has there ever been such a family style or not? To test, I am citing this old case. Look. The case, a monk asked Tan Shan, when cold and heat come, how can we avoid them? Shan said, why don't you go to the place where there is no cold or heat? The monk said, what is the place where there is no cold or heat? Tan Shan said, when it is cold, the cold kills you. When it is hot, the heat kills you. Look at the page 308. Look at the page 309. The last paragraph. Cao Xian asked the monk, when it is so hot, where will you go to avoid it? The monk said, I'll avoid it inside a boiling cauldron. Cauldron?
Cauldron.
Within the coals of a furnace. Cao Xian said, how can it be avoided in a boiling cauldron or among the coals of furnace? The monk said, the multitude of sufferings cannot reach there. See how the people of the Cao Tang house naturally understood the conversation of people of their house. This discussion is also almost the same meaning. While the Tao Xian asked a monk, when it is so hot, where will you go to avoid it? So the monk said, I'll avoid it inside of the boiling cauldron. You know, the boiled cauldron is very hot. Anyway, he is going to there. Anyway, not he is going, he is there. Within the coals of a furnace, Tao Shan said, how can it be avoided in a boiling cauldron or among the coals of furnace? The monk said, the multitude of sufferings can reach there. I think so. Because you are already right in the middle of a heart. Okay. No space to say to suffer. Anyway, it's already there. Do you understand? For instance, furnace and burning the big furnace, okay? Let's imagine, it's not necessary to do, but let's imagine you right in there, okay? Well, if you die, then naturally your body is carried to the big furnace, and immediately lights the fire, make a fire, and immediately burn it. A dead body doesn't say anything, but if you're alive and right there, well, you can't scream, just shoot, that's all. You can't scream. So no suffering, no space to impose the feeling of suffering, just immediate. Okay? So that's why he says how the multitude of suffering can reach their means when it is hot. Anyway, you should be anywhere right in the middle of hot. But you shouldn't be confused by heart, because if you're confused by heart, you are not right in the middle of heart, because you are looking at the heart at the distance, fighting. That's why it's not. So lots of suffering you can get. But if you are really one with a heart, right in the middle of heart, well, that is the best way to avoid. Anyway, no heart. That means, anyway, when it is hot, usually people are very confused, but you shouldn't be confused, because if you're confused, you are completely carried away, or you are not centered. So anyway, be centered. You must be what you are, anyway, always. Even though your mind is inside of your six consciousnesses, always burning, screaming, but anyway, even physically, anyway, quiet, be present there. And then very naturally, your mind gradually followed. Physically, if you scream or if you dance, it's pretty hard. Simultaneously, mind also follows it. So that's why, and be present there, but not confused. So as best as you can, you should deal with what you are right in the middle of heart. That means you shouldn't ignore heart, but on the other hand, you cannot attach to the heart anyway. If you ignore heart, you know, well, you always, you know, you don't care so close, you know. See, when I was age monastery, a friend of mine was always showing off how strong he was. Right in the middle of winter, you know, he wore just a thin kimono. No underwear, just underpants, you know, just one. And a very thin kimono. And kromo is summer kromo, and it's not warm. So he always show me, hey, well, how many clothes you wear? Look at me. It's pretty good. Not pretty good, but I don't think it is great, because it is just like an owl. how what can see the everything at night. Do you understand? Well, human being can see the everything at night, but owl can't see. So if you can live wearing just a little bit in the cold winter, even in Minneapolis, you're fine, you're great. Not great, you are still a normal person. I don't think it is valuable, because this is nothing but comic life. Just like an owl. Do you understand? In terms of human being, you are jealous of owl because owl can see everything at night. I wish I could see everything at night. But then should we respect, or should we find the real value in such a life? It is nothing but the comic life, as well as my comic life, your comic life. So, if you really ignore the winter and summer, well, you can wear the very thick kimono the same summer. Anyway. And here, it's very hot. So, particularly on the country land, one of the priests a little bit concerned about in that, you know, wearing the kimono. We wear it anyway, at least four, you know. So it's very hot. So we have to think about this. I don't think it's necessary to escape from the hat, but we should do our best to be in the hat, in hot. Well, without confused, without being carried away by hot or heat, anyway. Okay. If you attach to heat so much, very naturally the comparison comes up. So you hate heat. And then very naturally you want to get the cold. When you attach it to cold, you really hate the cold, you want to go to Florida anyway, Hawaii. Even though you don't go, your mind is always in Hawaii. But strictly speaking, wherever you may go, winter is winter. I told you always. So winter is, when the winter comes, everywhere is winter, alright? You don't believe. Even in Hawaii, it's winter. Even in Florida, it's winter. Well, you don't believe. But if you want to be, if you want to know, go to Hawaii. Stay over there. And learn the season. Changes so much seasons. You can find the winter. Anyway, a monk asked Tan Shan, when cold and heat come, how can we avoid them? Well, this is when cold and heat comes means not only heat and cold, this is a human life, life and death. When the life and death comes, or suffering, distress, confusion comes, how can we avoid them? How can we avoid? How can we be free from suffering, distress, confusion, anyway? Shan said, why don't you go to the place where there is no cold or heat? This is very natural. If you want to go somewhere, well, somewhere, there is no suffering, no pleasure, no life and death, so why don't you find it? Buddha said to all the women who suffered so much from her baby's die. And then she really asked Buddha Shakyamuni to save her suffering, to save her baby's death. In other words, she asked Buddha Shakyamuni to make her baby's death, her baby's alive again. Okay. So Buddha says, maybe I could do, but before this, why don't you go to the village and city or country to find a family where which there is nobody died. So she started. She went to the country and cities to find a family who don't have any dead person, but nothing. So she really realized human death and also suffering which mother should have from her baby's death. She understands that. So there is no other way to go. So why don't you, but anyway, Shan said, why don't you go to the place where there is no cold or heat? The monk said, what is a place where there is no cold or heat? Where is a place, where is a perfect peace or harmony, where there is no suffering, no distress, no hard work, no easy going? Anyway, nothing. What Tan Shan said, when it is cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you. Means when it is cold, anyway, cold is cold. Cold is cold. Wherever you may go, cold is cold. So you should take care of cold as it really is. Right in the middle of cold, nothing else. When it is hot, anyway, you should find yourself in the hot heat. That is, the cold kills you, or heat kills you. In other words, exactly be one. You are centered. You are really stable in cold and heat. At that time, cold and you are really one. At that time, heat or cold doesn't bother your life. Dogen Zenji mentions, for many, many years I have thought the snow covered the mountains, so he didn't like the snow, but now I realize snow create mountains. Snow create mountains. That's big difference. Okay. So for many years, snow covered mountain. Mountain is covered with snow. Okay, do you understand? That time you don't like snow. You don't like winter. But now, Dogen Zenji anyway realized snow create mountains. So at that time, snow has beautiful scenery. Snow has its own beautiful nature. Beautiful rhythm of snow's life. So very naturally, snow is wonderful nature. And as well as your life. So that is really enlightenment, enlightenment for you. at the page 309, that is a verse, he let down his hand, but still it is same as a 10,000 fathom cliff. He lets down his hand means Tan Shan anyway guide this monk with kindness, compassion, anyway, and in, walking hand in hand. It seems to be very kind, but still it is the same as a 10,000 fathom cliff. It's very straight and serious and very hard going. Well, the life and death, heat and cold, on the basis of existence, so on the basis of human life, always there is two things exist simultaneously, okay? Life and death and nirvana, delusion and Buddha, and good and bad, all sentient beings and Buddha, Bodhisattva, trees, human beings, so all things exist simultaneously, which seems to be contradictory. So that is really fundamental contradiction. Regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, this is a basic foundation of a basic picture of your existence. That's why always there is a sense of uneasiness or unsatisfactions always there. If you feel satisfactory, simultaneously you feel unsatisfactory. So if you want to get satisfaction, no end. Endlessly you want to get satisfaction, because within the satisfaction, unsatisfaction can be seen simultaneously. That's why constantly you want to get satisfactions, on and on. Because on the basis of human existence, there are two things always simultaneously exist. In equal way, completely in equality. That's why even though you don't know, comes up, the other ideas comes up. that is, according to Buddhism, we understand the human world in terms of three points. One is own being. Second is form. Third is functioning. Okay? That is a Buddhistic way of understanding human world, human life, in terms of three points. One is own being. Second is form. Third is functioning. So, own being is fundamental nature of a fundamental base of existence, being, okay? Existence. That is own being. Within the own being, I told you anyway, there are always two things which exist simultaneously in equality. So that is intellectual understanding of human world according to Buddhist teaching. Okay. And then this own being manifests itself in the human world, that is a form. Tables, you can see. Microphone, you can see. Sound, you can hear. Those stuff, that is a forms. And functioning is time. Anyway, time. All being is a kind of space. Okay, space. Well, for instance, we say maybe a being. If you say being, that is a kind of what to say a space. Okay, space. But on the other hand, being itself doesn't exist well related with human being, because a being must be closely connected with time, space and time. So being must connect with time very closely. Time and being are one anyway. So when a being manifests itself in the human world, that is a time. That time, in this realm of stream of time, a being is called life and death. Okay. When a being manifests itself in the time, it is called life and death. Okay. So life and death is functioning of being. Function of being. So, from this point, what is a life and death? Life and death is being. Issue of a being. Issue of existence. Understanding existence. Understanding of existence. But what is the understanding of existence? That is understanding of life and death. What is a life and death? It's time. It's working constantly. Anyway, how life and death works, that is changing, continuous change. In general Buddhism, we say change consists of the four stages continually. First is origination and maintenance and the changes. And extinction. Okay. You understand? Origination comes up anyway, comes up. So constantly comes up. And next, and maintaining. Second, changes. Fourth, extinction. The changes, continuous change, so called impermanence, goes in circle like this, very quickly, very quickly. That is a change in permanence. So life and death is what? Life and death, as a functioning of all being, is just flow of change, flow of changes, continues. Human being, so life and death is not table disappear here, right now, right here, and next moment new table comes up. The life and death of human life, I don't think the issue of life and death is not the life and death of inanimate beings. Okay. Quite different. Because we have a consciousness. So we cannot just die. Just die without suffering, without thinking, without anything, without feeling. Okay. You cannot die. You cannot be alive. Just like inanimate beings, you cannot do it because we have a consciousness. But a consciousness always looking at just the surface, you know. And also consciousness always focus on one thing. So it's very difficult for consciousness to see everything in universal perspective. It's very difficult. That's why we have to anyway see the foundation, basic picture of existence. basic picture of existence is being connected with human consciousness. So, if you see this bottom basis of human existence with your consciousness, consciousness simultaneously turn over at the 180 degree. This is a religious transformation. And then you can see your life in the universal perspective, little broad scale. But usually we always see the human world with our consciousness, which is limited, very limited. That's why we are always looking at just the surface. But it's not good enough because life and death is anyway connected with being, so-called space, which is vast, something more than you think. Okay? So very naturally in your life, many things comes up which you have never known. At that time you are very confused. Don't you think so? You really experience. If you do something, simultaneously something comes up which you have never seen before.